This is Greg Tingle reporting from Media Man Australia. We're speaking to Jesse Oxfeld, the editor-in-chief of Media Bistro. Welcome to the program, Jesse.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we've been monitoring your company via the internet for a number of months now. Looks very impressive. What exactly is Media Bistro? Turned into a destination site of myself and other people that I deal with, and I must tell you already, you've joined our A-list because we'll probably be in America in about 10 months and I might have to hit you or one of your mates for a job over there, so you may, we're great mates now, but yeah, look, love the site. So what are your aims and objectives with Media Bistro and what are you delivering to the industry?
Yes. My specific aspect of the editorial operation is to try to provide sort of takes and perspectives on life in the media that you're not seeing elsewhere. The best part is we're sort of a bare bones operation. I'm never going to be able to compete successfully, actual breaking news coverage with the people who come to the media business for the New York Times or the Washington Post or any of those sorts of venues.
Okay.
But what I try to do is I can
yes, and you provide a number of services. What services are proving the most popular and how does it work from the moment someone sees the website through to fulfillment?
Transfer the skills that you already have and adapt a little bit to learn how to cover this other area. That's another one of the services you provide. And as I say, my department does this original content. And I think, you know, when anything else, you come and you read it. Although we do also do a daily morning newsletter, this roundup of news about the media and other venues, which we send out to at least about 55,000 people who get that email each day.
Well, how do you actually decide what events to cover with so much going on in the world? Oh, so you might cover me, but you might mention, oh, some weird guy from Australia with his own media company ran up and asked for an interview. You might cover that.
We might cover that, but what I'm saying is, you know, the fact of the matter is we don't really cover, say, the war in Iraq. We cover how people are covering the war in Iraq. So it makes it not terribly hard to decide what we're covering because when it's kept down to that specific focus, there isn't a huge amount of news every day on that topic. There's a lot of it, there's enough to keep us very busy, but there's not so much that we have to be trying to figure out which part of this great stream to cover.
I understand. It reminds me a little bit of a section of a News Limited newspaper in Australia called The Australian. It's got a section called Media. And obviously you're not tied in, I take it, to such a large organisation like News Limited, but you've got your own media. Rupert. Yes. So you get popular sections include the media section for sure. So what news sources do you trust and respect? Yes.
And maybe this makes me a sucker. The fact of the matter is, I do tend to trust the major American media outlets and believe them for the most part.
Okay. Because I always find it as time goes on and I learn more and more, I start to become more and more cynical the whole time. But I guess that's the nature of the business. The idea is to try to concentrate on the positives. So, you're sort of like filtering the information, you're getting that particular channel's spin on things if you like, and you're filtering it out and separating the facts from the real news. I understand. One thing I'm very curious about, being somewhat of a new media entrepreneur myself, what words of advice would you have from turning a free-based media website into that of a part subscription model, and what aspects do you think would be most likely be able to be successful in being profitable?
Well, listen, what everybody's shown is that the only way you can really make these things profitable is if you provide something that is somehow, in the dot com era phrase, mission critical, something that people need to do their jobs. And a lot of people try to go with subscription based sort of general interest content, you have a really hard time doing that. The things that have been successful are things like the Wall Street Journal's website, which has very specific information on the financial markets on companies that people in that business feel they need to have in order to do their job, which is why those people are willing to pay for it. It also doesn't hurt the people in order to do their jobs, because their companies will expense, will allow them to expense it, which makes it even easier to charge for something when the consumer is actually paying for it himself.
Yes.
When the example of what I do, the vast majority of our content is free. We do have a few pieces of content that we put behind our premium membership wall, and the things that we choose to put there are things that our experience has shown us people are willing to pay for because they think they legitimately need them to do their jobs. For example, once a week we publish, the site is predominantly geared toward working journalists and a significant number of them are freelance writers. Once a week we publish a column called How to Pitch, which is just a in-depth conversation with a high-level editor at some magazine saying, if you're a freelance writer who wants to write for us, this is what you should know. This is, I prefer to have pictures like me, I prefer to have pictures and facts. Don't bother pitching this column because it's not in-house. Do pitch this because we're looking for these kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's a very specific thing that to some of this professional freelance writer is very useful for his or her job. Therefore, we can put that behind the subscription wall, people will pay money to go and see that. Whereas the essays that we tend to do on, living the media life, which is a traffic, I don't think people would pay money for it, because frankly, I'm not sure they would see that they get a return on their investment for that.
I understand. Got me thinking a few articles perhaps could be how to make news media on the internet profitable. That might have more interest than what makes people in the media business jealous or something like that. Yeah, because we're looking at a few models here. One's a subscriber by someone might pay $100 a year and it'll have open access to everything on the site, or maybe $4.95 to listen to each 15 or 20 minute interview, or some sort of SSL layer socket. There's all these different models. I guess finding the right market, finding something sellable. We're also looking if we could find a buyer of quality interviews and sound grabs and video grabs. But that's the thing, like matching up good, sellable item with the right buyer with money, and that seems to be where the challenge is.
Yes, that's right, and
at the same time as, can become an authority on certain things where a newspaper may approach me and say, Greg, I want a 1,000-word feature article on news media websites. Well, I could pick that job up if it could get paid by like 60, 70 cents per word. And
these things do work when people find a way of tying it all together.
Yeah. That's correct, but at the same time it also gets us a lot of news coverage both around Australia and around the world. But it's sort of, it's turning into one of those things where yes, you basically need it to be considered a serious player or at least in the race.
Right. That makes sense.
Yes. Alright, well, what future things can we look forward to and what kind of projects have you got on at Media Bistro?
Doing these sorts of pieces on the culture of living and working in the media. trying to get more and more of that. One thing that I'm actually in the middle of trying to start right now, I don't know what I'm going to call it, from the trenches, or dispatches from the trenches, or something like that. Seeing a weekly piece as someone who isn't a big shot, you know, who isn't anyone who's running the media organization, be it the Australian or the New York Post or any of these little things, but some guy who's a fact checker in the magazine, who's a production assistant at a news show, who does, I think the one every week, does a first person piece on this is really what my life is every day. I think all leadership, which is other people in similar jobs in different media, we're sort of interested in more of that making the sausage, as they say, element of it. What if it really happens to get, top vote on the air over there?
Yes. I thought you might have been talking about me for a moment, but I do have a story that I need to share with you now, Jesse. I worked for a prominent Sydney newspaper for about 3 months in the sales and marketing division of the motoring section.
Okay.
And as I've done in my career, I over-excelled and blew their targets away. But as you know, the media business is very political. I was making more sales outbound than the old fogies could make inbound, and I also rattled the cages of other colleagues in there that had been cruising along, not working too hard for the last year or so, and sort of caused a bit of an uproar. And a few months later, I got to them at a date come Monday, and the only answer they could come up with is they said, "You didn't fit the culture." But no, it wasn't, oh, you brought our sales targets away, or you had verbal and written client testimonials, or your attendance was spot on. It was, you didn't fit the culture, but I think you don't have to hang around the media business for long. Basically, some of the rest of the sales team felt threatened, and yeah, there might have been one or two managers which didn't like me, because I think one or two of their former stars were actually getting shown up. But that is sometimes life in the media business. So now we're actually running our own operation, and we've actually done business with that newspaper since, but on a different level. So, that's the way it works. Absolutely. And I do look forward to being in touch with you. You actually will receive a couple of articles from myself and between us. Hopefully we'll come up with something which we both believe to be very newsworthy, as the business uses that expression.
I would love to do that.
You'll hear from me again shortly, Jesse. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed this.
We'll catch up again shortly.
All right, take care.
All right, you too.